Hello, everybody. Welcome back to a new podcast episode. And this time I'm back with Deb. Hello.
Hello, how are you?
I'm fine. I hope you too. So tell the people quick who you are and what are you doing?
That's a loaded question, but I'll try to keep it somewhat brief. So my name is Deb, and I kind of have had an eclectic life path. I'm a personal trainer, a fitness instructor, which includes teaching like spin and Pilates and yoga, and a Reiki master and a mom. I have two kids, two girls who are teenagers. And I'm currently going through my NLP certification. I'm not sure how familiar you are with NLP, but in the personal development, self-growth, and in that kind of arena.
That's so. Definitely very interesting. And there comes immediately my first question, because I heard about that Reiki master, but I think a lot of people out there don't really know what it is. Can you explain to people what that is?
What a Reiki master is? Yeah, sure. So yeah, a lot of people, when I say I'm a Reiki master, they're like, what's that? And it's really just, it's non-denominational. I'm one of those people that live and let live. You can believe what you want to believe as long as it doesn't hurt other people. Reiki is a very loving, I guess, discipline. And I won't go too much into the history. You can look it up. It's spelled R-E-I-K-I if you don't know. But it's really just acting in what's for your highest good and the highest good for all involved, which usually is your immediate family, or like if you've got kids, making decisions based on what's the best for you and the best for them. Really just trusting that things are going to unfold naturally in what's for your highest good, in what's in your best interest. So it's really actually something that I had before I became a Reiki master. I went to a Reiki master where it's called receiving Reiki. And that really helped me tremendously getting through, the end of my marriage and divorce peacefully. Just learning that you can, energy is huge. You can feel it in lots of different ways. I don't know. Do you believe in energy work and whether it be prayer or positivity? What do you believe in?
I definitely believe in that. I mean, I don't really talk about that a lot, but some people, I'm a Muslim, but I don't tell people anything really about that, or I don't want to put it on their face. So I'm doing this, you have to do this. So I'm totally free like you. People can do whatever they want as long as they don't bother me or try to harm me. Then it's different. But then other than that, they can do what they want. So basically, it's Reiki Master a little bit like a life coach, right?
I guess I've not looked at it that way. And I don't look at what I do as life coaching. I look at it as in, so with NLP, I'm trying to really put a name to what I do for people. I really improve your life in different ways, with your mind, with your body, and with your spirit. And with spirit, that you could, some people call it God, some people call it spirit, some people call it universe, you know, whatever you call it. It's if you believe in a higher power, if you don't, that's fine too, because energy between people is real. And everything is energy. Everything around us is energy. So I've been told when I walk into the room, people can feel me walk into the room.
Well, that's always just good to hear when people say that, right?
You know, I have this one guy that knows me. He's like, when you walk into the room, it's like you power up the light bulbs. and at first I was like, is that a good thing or a bad thing? I just have a very high vibration, very high energy, but that can be bad if it's not harnessed. And there was a long time in my life where it wasn't harnessed. And I was cycling a high vibration in not a good way. So I've learned a lot of lessons in the last decade in particular, with energy, and with, handling energy and anxiety. I used to try to just being a four letter athlete in high school and playing college sports and beyond. I would just work out all the time. And that is how I handled my energy, my anxiety, everything. and you do martial arts. Do you do anything besides martial arts, like any sports?
Well, you definitely, in terms of handling energy, like me, because I feel like throughout training, you can handle energy so good. And for the people listening again, I also did a podcast about that. So that totally fits what you said to your question. I do martial arts and, of course, lifting weights. I do here and there yoga, but more specific for my, just opening the thoracic spine, the shoulders. Mm-hmm. And I do also sprints. For cardio, I don't really like to run for long distance. It's just maybe to clear the head if you need to, like in a great mm-hmm. weather like now. But yeah. Normally I do sprints. I do these ice hockey sprints. Are you familiar with that? So it's
on ice?
Not on ice, just outside, but it's the same sprint method what they use. So you sprint 5 meters, you touch mm-hmm. the ground, you run back. You do that 5 times, then you sprint 10 meters, touch the ground, run back, and then 20 meters, and you do everything 5 times, and that's how I build the cardio up. Mm-hmm. And that's basically how I train. So martial arts, lifting weights, and sprints.
Yeah, that reminds me, that brings me back to my high school days. I don't know if you know, you're in a different country, speak different languages, I know words can be different, but we used to call those suicides, and you would tag the line on a basketball
court. Yeah,
border,
I know that.
Yeah, that term. So I used to be the kid that would ask the coach for more. My teammates didn't like that so much, but yes, exactly. I would always be like, yeah, I want more. But anyway, for people listening, and on the anxiety topic, I think learning a multifaceted way to handle anxiety is really important, because when you just try to use athletics and sports or running or sprints or whatever to manage your anxiety, it only lasts for so long, right? Like,
yeah.
So I would have anxiety. I didn't realize how much anxiety I had in my childhood and into my adulthood. I would just go work out and I'd feel better for a little bit, but then I wouldn't feel well. And so I'd have to go, you know, push a little harder, do a little more. And that's not good either. There is such a thing as too much exercise. And so that's, I think, where Reiki really helped me with kind of losing. It's really hard. You can't control everything in life. So learning to control what you can, and I know that's a really big saying, control what you can't, let go of what you can't. But that's easier said than done. If you don't know how to find your breath, you hear find your breath. Well, how do you find your breath? It really is that simple. Just sitting in a chair, closing your eyes, maybe putting, you know, your hands on your chest and your belly, and just being still. If you have like guided meditations, sometimes that can help with anxiety. But what I'm most excited about is what I'm studying with NLP is things that can help the anxiety really go away forever. Like there's techniques that can help stop the repeating process of anxiety, as well as tricks and tips that can help, like if I ran into someone that was either anxiety or depression, this works either way. Okay. I'm going to ask you a question. If you're sad, are you looking, what are you usually looking up? Or are you usually looking down when you're sad?
It depends. So normally, of course, everything what's negative, you most of the time look down. Because when you're happy, when you're confident, you look up, chest popped up and head up. So I would say most of the time you look down.
Correct. So if you, in a pinch, need to change how you're feeling, if you're feeling anxious or depressed, just look up at the sky and take a deep breath in through your nose. And then if you just exhale through your mouth and imagine calmness spreading through your body, that can be instantaneous.
That's so very interesting. With the breathing is so important. And I like that you say that with breathing is very important part of that. I don't know, for whatever reason, I always thought Reiki is something a little bit with yoga.
No, Reiki, really, usually Reiki, it's like, you know what a massage table is, right? Like if you're going for a massage.
Yeah.
Normally, it depends. Different Reiki masters are different, and I don't practice it anymore in person. I use Reiki more just in my daily life, and verbally, kind of what we're doing, or when, you know, when you run into a friend that you haven't seen in 20 years, but you were close friends and you zap back to the, you just make each other feel good. That yeah. exchange of good energy, that's Reiki. Reiki is loving. Anytime that raises your vibration and it feels good, that is Reiki. So if you're going to a Reiki master, just like you were going for a massage or going to a therapist, you walk into the office and usually chat for a little bit, you know, like why you're there and that kind of thing, and what's going on in your life. And really just finding your breath and listening to your body. We all have intuition and we all have things in our bodies. I think that we lose because our parents, in all their lovingness, and even myself with my kids, is we try to teach them, but sometimes we do them a disservice because they're not listening to their gut or themselves anymore. So I think as an adult, we have to really start listening to ourselves again, and trusting in our intuition. And if we have a bad feeling about something, listening to that. So in a Reiki appointment, you would go and you would just chat for a little bit and then you would lay on the table. And then Reiki can be hands-on or hands-off. I don't know if you've ever seen a Reiki treatment, but.
No, not Reiki, but I heard it's also, so you get also a massage maybe, or.
Yeah, it's not a massage the way you would think a massage normally is. It's like pressure points that are touched, and there's strict laws in North Carolina, so you really can't do anything massage-like. But in different parts of the world, and in some places you don't even touch at all. Okay. Like if you've ever taken your hands, like you're going to give yourself a high five,
yeah,
and you hold your hands about an inch away from each other, you'll notice after a couple seconds you can feel the heat between your hands or the energy between your hands.
Yeah.
So that is the energy that you can move through somebody's body with Reiki. Sometimes there's blockages in, like, if I don't know if you're familiar with chakras, and it's just a deeply relaxing meditative experience, and it really doesn't even matter what you believe. What the purpose is to kind of move bad feelings towards better feelings. It's always moving you in a positive direction. And when you're in this deeply, whether you're meditating or whether you're in Reiki and someone is helping you get into that meditative state, the more we can get ourselves into, I'm not sure if you're familiar with the term, homeostasis. Anything yeah. that makes us happy, makes us feel good, raises our vibration, all those things take us away from pain and towards happiness. And the more you can keep your body in homeostasis, the better functioning your body and your brain will be. So, you know, there's multiple approaches to that. There's, you know, drinking enough water. There's moving enough. There's holding still and disconnecting from your electronics enough.
Yeah.
You know, so I really try to bring a lot of these things into my daily life, and really balance it out, because my life was so way out of balance for decades with exercise. Yeah. And, you know,
so you probably did too much, because I think what you also say is it's always a combination of everything. So brain, or the mind and the body, is a connection. So you need to treat both.
Yeah.
And if you overdo it, then you probably train like a savage, because for the people out there listening, if you will look up later her Instagram, you will see Deb is definitely in a tremendous shape and she does a lot of things. So then that's probably no surprise.
Yeah, I absolutely overdid it for very, very, very long time. I mean, there's people that I would like to reach that maybe were in my position that I would like to tell them to slow down, do yoga, meditate, be still. It's okay. But I wasn't tackling the mindset part. So again, I was over exercising. I mean, there were decades where I probably worked out 6 to 7 days a week for 2 to 6 hours a day. Okay. And that's too much.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. But was that maybe because lot of people, when they train so much, they want to compensate something. So that means maybe you had some problems in yourself, and by exercising, you thought that they will be gone.
There's a lot to that, depending on how much, if you've got the next 24 hours, I'll go into that, but I'm just kidding. A lot of these things stem from, honestly, from our childhood. It's either something happens in our childhood, my parents' relationship was very toxic. And in my life, excellence was expected. And I was a high functioning, high level athlete. And then you kind of feel like you have to be perfect. And how do you get perfect? By practicing all the time. Yeah. And then it becomes your drug. Then you get, awards and medals, and you get in the papers, and that becomes your drug. And so there becomes a time where working out just becomes, it's the only thing that makes you feel good. When you're not handling everything. So, those are the people that I really want to get in touch with, the people that maybe know how to do it physically, but they're not handling their lives. There's an inner calm that comes with when you understand how to tackle your problems in your mind.
True. Yeah, that's definitely true. That's why a lot of people also say, when they found religion, or when they think that's the right thing for them, they have an inner calm in their heart. So that's, yes, like, and a lot of people, and that's a dangerous thing for a lot of, even rich people have it. That's the thing. It doesn't matter what you have. You can have everything, but if inside of you is a disaster, so that's, yeah, why a lot of people also kill themselves.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, you look at how many people have like millions of dollars, and then they end up on drugs or, medications, and like you said, suicidal and stuff. Because my life started turning around when I really started 100% focusing on me, getting better as a person. If I could just knock on everybody in the world's door and say, stop pointing the fingers out and start pointing the fingers in and work on you. Because if you're not happy, even in the worst of circumstances, like, you might not, I'm blessed. I'm grateful. I have a great life. I'm not where I ultimately want to be yet, but I'm happy where I am. And that is something that I think you have to get to understand. Does that make sense?
True. Definitely. And that's why it's so impressive that you overcome all these things. So can you maybe talk to people through how you did it with all the anxiety and the stress you had decades ago, and now you're here and pretty much very calm with yourself?
Yeah. So, and again, we've touched on many of these things. I do move. I'm not obsessed with moving anymore, but it is part of most of my every day. I'd say at least 5 or 6 days a week, I make sure that I move. I'm getting steps in, because even at the bare minimum, if someone goes for a walk, that can elevate your mood. You don't True. Have to. A lot of people see me and they're like, oh, I can't do that. And I'm like, but can you walk? Can you walk for 5 minutes, 10 minutes? And then can you sit still? I think it's a big thing. If people can't sit still, they're not happy inside, because they can't sit still with themselves. And so that starts with like a minute of breathing. Are you familiar with Shavasana in yoga?
Yeah.
20 years ago, 15 years ago, I could not sit still through Shavasana, because it wasn't weightlifting. It wasn't sweating. It wasn't,
You get like a tingling in your body. So like something you want to shake yourself off. Like,
well, I just couldn't hold still. Like if I wasn't moving, it didn't count,
Yeah.
And now I know, like, Shavasana, for people that feel like that, that's the most important part of yoga. Some people, they just need an hour of Shavasana and that's it, And for people that don't know what that is, it's just really laying on your back, eyes closed, and palms up, and just being as still as you can. And a lot of people think that when you meditate, your mind is completely blank and clear, and they're like, but I can't stop my thoughts. Well, it's really, really hard for 99% of people to stop their thoughts when they meditate. And it's just doing the best you can and holding still and feeling your breath. There's simple tricks like feel your breath go in your nose and focus that it feels colder when it comes in the nose than when it goes out. It feels warm. So sometimes just focusing on those little things or focusing on your heartbeat can keep you more present when you're meditating. So many things came along in my path that have led me to now. And I think awareness is the biggest thing. When I got into Reiki, I became more self-aware. I think I was very focused on my accomplishments when I was younger, but I wasn't aware of self-growth. I think not enough people are familiar with self-growth. A lot of people are familiar with pointing fingers and blame.
Yeah, I think so, but definitely, especially in that society we're living now.
Oh my gosh, yeah. And if everybody would just grow up and be accountable for themselves, a lot would improve, I think, immediately. You know, not everybody has to have the same point of view, but I think if we realize that we all have the same basic human needs to eat, to sleep, to love, if just everybody would realize we all want to probably get in the end result the same place, then and just would cool off and look inside, that I think a lot of things could calm down. But the anger, if I could just get everybody to lay down in Shavasana, ride a bike, like smile, you know, there's just so many things, you know, smile, laugh, instead of watching something violent, watch something funny. That's a big thing. That's not even difficult to do. If you have a choice as to what you can watch, it has been studied that laughter can cure illness. You know, so if you have a day that you're free to be by yourself, that you don't have to do anything, just watch comedy all day long. Find things that make you laugh all day long. And I guarantee not only I call it your vibration will improve, but that affects your immune system as well.
Yeah.
So, and I'm not sure if you were aware of that, but laughter and joy, they have a huge impact.
Yeah, sure. Plus, on your immune system. Great apps if you love a lot.
Yeah. So, and who doesn't need that right now, right?
That's definitely true. Yeah, that's a very interesting point. People forget that with laughing about things or also just making people compliments, try to make people happy, and then that's so unbalanced in our society that people immediately think, if I would give you a compliment, people think, oh, I try to flirt with you.
Right.
And because we're so unbalanced with that, we're not used to it anymore.
Well, I think that, and I think honestly, when you talk about the social, you know, like Instagram and stuff like that, I know as a female on Instagram, it can be tricky because you get a lot of not so good behavior from the opposite sex. So you know, I'm definitely on guard. And I don't like having to be that way. Who wants to live in a world where you always have to
question someone's motives?
We have to. Yeah. And you know, I learned through several really unfortunate relationships after my divorce that not everybody in this world is good. They are not for your highest good. They're for their highest good. So, really watching out for just, I think the bad things happen in our life because they're going to keep happening in our life until that's our wake up call. Yeah. And if you don't take the wake up call, then the life is going to call you again, you know?
True.
Until you really open your eyes to things that are happening, they're just, have you ever met people that said, oh, of course this happened to me. This always happens to me. Well, it always happens to you because you're not changing anything in your behavior.
These are the negative people. I mean, some people have bad luck where, for example, they play soccer and they injure themselves. I always take soccer player with injuries because, you know, I'm from Europe and soccer is like, if you exclude America, it's the biggest sport in the world. And so a lot of soccer players, sometimes they get injured a lot. So that's the thing where you can maybe say bad luck, but you can also look at this. Maybe he needs to change. He needs to train different. He needs specific doctors. He needs to watch his nutrition. But that's the thing where I would say bad luck. With the other things, as you said, that's his perspective, that maybe he or she should change something.
Well, and I sometimes believe that I mean, my belief now is that when something bad happens, like, so I played junior Olympic basketball and soccer. And the last time I was going to go to the Junior Olympics for basketball, I broke my ankle a week before.
Oh, no.
And yeah. And so it's like, I cried. But my now self looks back at my then self. And I was like, you know what? There was a lesson that you were supposed to learn, and there was a reason that that happened. You weren't supposed to go, you know? And I believe that everything that happens in our life leads, like every decision I made led me to,
for a reason,
you know, yeah. I'm divorced, but I wouldn't change that either because it gave me my kids. And so I think, you know, if one thing had changed in my past that hadn't led me to where I was now, then my kids might not be here. And I wouldn't change that for anything.
Yeah.
So, you know, I know different people believe different things, and that's okay. I'm always for believe what you need to make you happy, as long as making you happy doesn't hurt other people. You know, I think that's today is so important, because everybody is so up in arms about their rights.
Yeah.
But to the point where it's harmful to other people. And, you know, I'm all about spreading positivity and positive waves. And if we can spread more positive waves, you know, I impact one person that can influence hundreds, and those hundreds influence thousands. You know, it's a positive ripple effect into the universe.
So,
you know, so yeah, there's not any one thing that I'm doing now that's perfect, but I think it's a lot of actions combined that help.
Well,
me,
you do definitely don't be so hard on yourself. You do definitely a lot of good things, and it just takes time, and you just pick up the parts and make that puzzle together. So pick it everything in the right direction.
That's exactly how I look at it. And no, I'm not being hard on myself. I'm just saying, you know, if people are like, oh, well, what's one thing you do? And I'm like, well, it's not one thing that I do. It's all the little things I do throughout
my day. You have a lot of interests, yeah.
Yeah, it's like I make sure that I, whether you call it prayer, whether you call it breathing, whether you call it meditation, you know, I do that every day. I move every day. I'm grateful every day. I smile and laugh every day. I can't tell my kids I love them every day. Like, a lot, you know? Yeah. So it's all these little things. And then sometimes you find that you're not even acting. Have you ever driven somewhere and you don't even remember driving there? Like, when you find that you're not present.
Yeah, sure. That happens. And I don't know how people or the experts would call that state of flow. But I definitely heard of that. And
it's actually called
sometimes
trance.
Happens also. It also happened to me sometimes. You just don't know what you did there. So weird.
Yeah, I remember when I moved, one time I moved, and I just on autopilot drove back to my old house, and I was like, what am I doing here? But it's in NLP, it's called trance, and it's just something that is hypnotic, like driving to you, that you do all the time, and your body just knows and brain knows how to get there without even really focusing on it. But, you know, ideally we want to be focused when we're driving, yeah. and we want to be present in our life. And one quick tip on to, if you're somewhere where you really enjoy and you want to remember the experience better, this is like an NLP thing. Let's say, because you know how when you're having a blast, time flies, it goes so fast.
True,
but when,
yeah.
when you're miserable, time drags.
Oh yeah.
So we want to focus on the positive things, and we want to change the color and the sound on the negative things and make them smaller. And if you're experiencing something that you're just like, this is the best thing ever, try to engage all the senses that you can, your smell, your sight, your feelings. So, you know, anything that you're looking at, like if you're sitting on something, you feel what you're sitting on. If you're drinking a drink, smell it, like pay attention to, is it warm? Is it cool? And the more senses that you can bring into your experience, the stronger that memory will be. So you can come back to it. And there's things called anchors where, when you're experiencing something so wonderful, you can double it, you triple it, make it so big that you're so happy. And then you can just touch like your first, your pointer finger to your thumb and press it down. And that's called anchoring that experience or that emotion. And so later, you know, like the next day, you might be like, oh, I want to feel what I felt when I was in this great experience. And you just touch that place with your pointer finger and thumb, and it'll bring that experience back to you.
This is so interesting.
Yeah. So there's so much about NLP that blows my mind.
That's a perfect topic to talk about in the next podcast, more into details, because I think that will blow people's minds. And
sure.
I really enjoyed talking to you. Do you have any last advices, maybe? I know we probably could go for hours and talk about things, but I love it. That just shows that we have great energy and the flow is there.
Yeah, no, I just, you know, just be kind, because everybody, you don't know what the person standing you next to you is going through. You know, if you see someone that's miserable, try to give them a smile, try to help them. And if they can't take it, then don't take it personally. But really just focus on you. I'm becoming a Hope and Open-O practitioner as well. That's a really powerful thing. It's the phrase, I'm sorry, please forgive me. Thank you. And I love you. Those four phrases, you can repeat those over and over to yourself in your mind. And that's another topic as well, but just focus on yourself. I think that's the biggest thing. Focus on yourself, focus on the positive, put things that you want in your brain. And if you find yourself focusing on things that you don't want, then as soon as you realize that, focus on back on something that you do want.
Well, that's so awesome to close the podcast. So there's nothing more to say. I really like those powerful words. And thank you so much, everybody, for listening, for tuning in, for the support. And most of all, thank you so much, Deb, for your time. I really appreciate that.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Bye, everybody.